This is the Science of Deliberate Creation, and this tape, entitled Inner Guidance, is the 10th tape of a 10-tape album, and this album, Special Subjects, Volume 2, was recorded by Abraham in 1991. Recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and the unauthorized duplication of this cassette is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and your purchase of these materials fulfills that intention. Plus, you also help us to afford the means to connect with other seekers. And Esther and I are most appreciative of your role in this joyous growth experience. For additional tapes, books, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Science of Deliberate Creation workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690-070, San Antonio, Texas. And the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abraham-hicks.com.
Good morning.
Good morning, Abraham.
We are pleased to come together for the purpose of bringing some clarity to this most important topic of inner guidance.
Good.
We are appreciating the title that you have selected, for guidance is something that many are looking for, and we are appreciating very much that you are using our term of inner guidance. Because from our perspective, that is the true source of all true guidance, mm-hmm. that which comes forth from within. As we are viewing your planet and many of the physical beings who are participating upon it, we are keenly aware that many, in fact most, are seeking guidance in one form or another, in one area or many areas of their life experience. And that is a natural thing, for as you come into physical experience, you are small. And everyone assumes that because you are the newest and the smallest, that you know the least.
Correct.
And so many are eager to put you in that category of unknowing. Everyone wants to guide you, it seems, and you soon, even though as you emerged you felt very sure and very strong, soon you take on the role of the new one that doesn't know anything, and you assume the role of one who needs to be guided.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this topic has been specifically chosen to talk about the relationship between the physical you and the inner you, or the inner world. And this has become a topic that is rather broad and very popular in your time, because more of your physical beings in this time are coming to recognize that life is more than just what it physically appears to be. More and more are having experiences of a non-physical nature, and more are beginning to acknowledge that circumstances that have before now been called lucky or chance now have meaning that is, while not more tangible, more accepted. In other words, mm-hmm. the non-physical interaction with the physical is becoming more and more acknowledged as more and more of the physical beings are experiencing it on a first-hand basis. And so it is our wanting, as we are moving forward upon this topic here today, to assist everyone who is listening to the recording, who is seeking a clear understanding of what inner guidance is, and of how to connect with the inner guidance, to come to the place of full understanding, so that this guidance that is absolutely available to you can come forth from within you to enhance every aspect of this physical experience in which you are now part. You have some questions for us upon this topic?
Sure. When I was a little child, I remember walking through some broken lumber, and stepping on a nail and it going through my shoe and into my foot, and how difficult it was to pull the nail out of my foot. And then after that, then I realized from then on, whenever I walk through, even today, if Esther and I are someplace where something's being built, I always say, Esther, watch out for nails. In other words, that has never gone out of my memory. And so I'm guided instantly to avoiding that again. What kind of guidance is that? And why didn't I have the guidance to keep me from stepping on the nail the first time? Why did I have to have the experience of all that pain in order to develop this whatever kind of guidance it is now? And that is kind of inner guidance.
Your question is a good one, for almost everyone who is hearing can relate to something similar to this. Now, as you are walking through wood piles and wary about stepping on a nail, that is not the sort of guidance that we are wanting to address here upon this recording, although that is the sort of guardedness that almost all physical beings experience in a very pronounced way in their life experience. That is the way you stifle the true guidance within one another. You have had negative physical experiences, and remembering the negativity of the experience, now you stand in a very guarded position, watching out for yourself and wanting to warn others also. And it is our knowing that when you are in that negative, guarded position of lack, that you are more likely to attract more of what you are not wanting. Now, maybe you will not attract another nail, but in a guarded position, you are not flowing freely within the experience of life either, you see. As you say, why did not my inner being warn me about the nail to begin with? For certainly it was not in harmony with my idea of well-being. We say when you're looking that far back into your experience, the only thing that you remember is the heightened experience. In other words, the stepping upon the nail is the part of all of that that you remember very vividly. And it is not possible for you to remember what sort of feelings that you were having prior to having stepped upon the nail. It is our absolute knowing that your inner being was aware that you were walking in an area where there was potential danger. It is also our knowing that it is likely that in the momentum of what you were about as a very rambunctious child, can you remember the incident that surrounds it?
No.
Can you remember why you were there or what you were doing or what your emotional state of being was?
The nail in the foot.
Can you remember if you were in a state of receptivity or if you... You see, and so that is the way so many adults go about now teaching their children. They reach back into their past. They remember only the heightened details or the emotional negative outcome that they have lived. And then from that guarded position, now they proceed to offer guidance or warnings to their children. And have you noticed that the majority of the guidance that comes forth from the physical counterparts that you are sharing this earth with are guidance that sound like, watch out for that, be careful of that, look out over there, where your own inner guidance comes forth in a much more positive way. In other words, if you have been listening to this series of recordings, by now you are aware that we are wanting you to realize that your inner being exists at a place of that which you would call pure, positive energy. The guidance that comes forth from your inner being is not coming forth in the form of warnings in terms of saying, don't do this or don't do that, unless you are in extreme, dire situations. The guidance that you are wanting to become familiar with and accustomed to is a guidance that feels wonderful. In other words, the better you feel, the more you are now, right now, with what you are physically doing, in harmony with your greater intents. And the further away from that feeling good you are, then the more in harmony you are with what you are not wanting. Everything that happens to you of a physical nature, like stepping on a nail or having something fall on you or attracting some sort of dreaded disease, you have received guidance in advance of the incident happening that was wanting to move you in a direction other than in the direction of moving headlong into it. But there was some sort of momentum that was taking place within you that caused you to live it out or carry it out. And always that momentum is momentum that is coming from a place of lack. In other words, most often when you hurt yourself, you are in some sort of negative frame of mind.
And this isn't a big thing, but the other day, I mean, I seldom wear a hat, unless I'm, say, mowing the yard or something. And I almost never wear a hat into the house, or if I do, it just comes into the door, and that's as far as it goes. But the other day, for some reason, I was in the bathroom with a hat, my hat on, and something fell from the overhead heater in the bathroom, and as it hit my hat, I knew it was a scorpion, just for some reason, just the sound of it hitting the straw in the hat. And then it bounced off onto the floor. But if I wouldn't have been having a hat on, where it hit on the hat would have been where it would have gone right down the back of my collar, the back of my shirt. And so as a result, it just bounced off on the floor. No harm was done. Now, my point, and even before, earlier in the day, I'd heard a strange sound up in that little heater and climbed up on the bathroom sink to try to figure out what it was and never could figure what that scratchy sound was up there. Is there some guidance through this whole thing that led me to wear my hat in there?
Good.
Or
now, we're wanting to ask you some questions here. How many scorpions have fallen on your hat?
None. Just that one.
And so, is not it intriguing that that sounded like a scorpion falling on your hat, even
yeah.
though you had had no prior experience? In
right.
other words, you had not stepped on nails, you had not had scorpions
no.
falling on you, and yet there was a knowing that was within.
I knew it was a scorpion before I saw it on the floor.
Now, you've brought forth something that is very good, for it is good to us because it makes the point that we were making earlier.
Okay.
And that is, your inner being did not try to frighten you or warn you as you were standing on the porch. Your inner being did not say to you, look out, there is a scorpion in your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Watch as you are walking through these wood piles. Instead, you were positively inspired to the doing something which you don't do normally, which was the wearing of your hat. In other words, you were inspired to the positive action that would keep you in a positive place. And that is the point that we are making with you,
mm-hmm.
the true difference between your inner guidance and the guidance that you are accustomed to on the physical earth plane is that your inner being does not utilize negative scare tactics in order to guide you. Your inner being will offer you positive impulses, and if you follow your bliss, if you make a decision, I want to feel good, and then you hold your thoughts and words and actions in the direction that continues that feeling good, then you are utilizing your inner guidance to the fullest.
Well, go ahead.
The reason that so many of our physical friends misunderstand the subject of guidance when we are talking about inner guidance is because they really expect their guidance system that is coming forth from within to operate in the way that their parents and teachers and all of the warners of the world have done before. There is value in living some life experience. And if your idea of the perfect life experience is one where you have no experience that you would consider to be negative, we would say that is not our idea of perfect life experience, because you have intended to come forth and become familiar with the data of your time and place. And many of the things that help you to decide very pointedly what you do want are living some things that you very pointedly do not want. And if you decide that your guidance system is not with you because you sometimes experience things that you are not wanting, then you are in a place where you will not receive much benefit from your guidance system. But if you understand that you are here to live and decide and learn, and that one of the things that you are learning is to effectively utilize your guidance system, then you are in a very good place, a very open place of positive attraction.
Okay, then I want to go a little further with this. The times when someone was going to kill me, there haven't been that many times, 3 or 4 times, I guess, that I've had such a strong sensing that the person, that there was a knife coming at me or a gun or what have you, that I've moved out of it fast. Okay. But it was, it might call it a fear, but it was really a sensing, get out of here. Then then one last one where it's very specific. I was driving down the highway in Texas years ago, and in a chain of cars, and a voice told me in my car, drive it on the sidewalk.
And in other words, the voice did not say, watch out for this, watch out for that. It was very much as the inspiration that says, wear your hat into the bathroom.
Okay, I see. So I drove it on the sidewalk, and then a truck's brakes had gone out and crushed like 5 or 6 or 7 cars and all the people in them. As everything accordioned up on the road, and my little Volkswagen was up on the sidewalk safe. So that's right. So it wasn't frightening me, and it didn't. Okay, so now I guess. Okay,
and so now we are taking it in
here.
The area that it is away from warning,
Good.
And it is truly guidance.
Okay, another time, yeah, I was fishing, and I'd climbed a rock to see, look for Indian artifacts, and suddenly the voice said, run, Jerry. And I, with no fear, just grabbed my rod and reel, and reel, and I slid off that rock and just ran like the dickens and got in my little Cadillac, and off I went to Fresno. And the next day in the paper, they had found a girl's body under that rock, and I assumed that something was about to happen to me. But again, it wasn't a warning, I'll have to admit. You're right. I was guided to an action. So is that what, or a decision? I could make a decision about the action. I wasn't forced into it.
You see, what we're talking about here is, as here you are a physical being, and you have very wonderful sensors to help you operate in this physical world. To a point. In other words, you have the guidance of sight as far as you can see, and the guidance of smell as far as you can smell, and so on. But what most physical beings do not realize is that they are more than this physical being with these physical sensors, that there is an inner part of you that exists that is broader and has access to a broader view. A view of that which is coming in the future, because your inner being is aware of what the culmination of thoughts that you have been thinking is leading to.
Would you say that's what we've termed the sixth sense?
We would say that it is that which you physically have termed the sixth sense, and much, much more.
Good. Abraham, how would we utilize that much, much more that you speak of to the best advantage, to the fullest advantage in this physical life experience?
As you recognize that you are here as physical counterparts of that much, much more, that you have decided to come forth into this physical time and place to be a hands-on sensor of the data of this time and place, intending to fully understand all of that and to allow your broader guidance to come forth from within, then you are experiencing what we literally call the best of both worlds. This inner guidance exists as an agreement that was established between you and you, even before your emergence into this body, to assist you in living the fullest, most joyful, freest life experience that you could imagine, even from your broader perspective. You did not intend to utilize your guidance in order to manipulate or to control others. You intended to utilize it so to enhance this physical experience, simply to give you a broader view. And when you understand that you have lived thousands of lifetimes and that your inner being exists as that very old, very wise, very knowing culmination of all that you have lived, then it is of advantage for you to utilize that broader guidance when you are in the midst of an experience that you are involved in here through your physical format.
As a kid, I was an aerialist with a circus in Cuba, and a member of the audience, a very successful dentist in Havana, asked me to come to his home, a number of us, and for Christmas dinner. And then afterward, he offered to do free dental work for all of us. And he looked in my mouth. It was the first dentist I'd ever seen. And he told me I had 17 cavities. And he, you know, to deaden the pain, he gave me a shot. And then he stopped. He said, I'll just fill that one. He said, you're going to have the others filled when you get back. He said, because I turned green because I had a fear of needles. And so he said, have the teeth filled when you get back to the United States, because he didn't want to proceed because he was concerned. He said, I'm afraid your heart, something might happen to you. So as soon as I got back to the United States, I went to the first dentist I could find in Miami, and I said to him, would you look at my teeth? And he said, yes. And he looked at me and said, you have perfect teeth. I said, thank you. And so I went right down the street to the next dentist I could find, and I said, would you look at my teeth? And he said, oh, he said, you have 7 cavities. I can fill these right now. And I said, no, thank you. And each one I offered to pay for their time. And I went to the next one, and he found 12 or 18 cavities. He said he'd be happy to fill. And I said, no, thank you. And I went to another one, and he said, you have the most beautiful set of teeth I've ever seen. not a cavity. And I said, thank you. And so I gathered all the evidence or all the words or the guidance I had from those six or seven or whatever they were dentists, and out of it I made my own decision to never go see another dentist. And so today I still have no cavities except the one that he drilled back when I was a teenager. And so, but had I gone to him or the other one that said 17 or 20, I'd have 17 or 20 cavities with the fillings falling out like this one does through all my lifetime. Even when, often with an attorney, if there's something in a legal matter, I usually go talk to two or three attorneys rather than just one in the makeup. In other words, what I'm saying is I have this tendency to not accept anyone else's advice. I listen to it all and I evaluate it, but I still make my own decision. So here's my question. Does this inner guidance lead me to decide to see all these dentists or all these attorneys, or does the inner guidance, is that the one that finally helps me evaluate the information I've gathered from all of these people to make my own decision?
It depends upon what your intent is, your dominant intent. As you are one who is teacher, as you are one who is really wanting to understand what makes the world go round, your guidance very often guides you into experiences that give you that concrete evidence on which almost all physical beings make all of their decisions. We want to walk back through this story with you a little bit. As you were encouraged to sit in the chair of the dentist, you were not really wanting to do that. In other words, your personal feeling about it was one of not wanting to do it. But then you responded as almost all physical beings do. You were swept by the physical momentum. In other words, you were not wanting to look like a fish out of water. You were not wanting to hurt his feelings.
True.
And say no. After all, this was a very generous offer.
Of course.
He was a very powerful man. You were in a very magnificent home.
That's right.
You were out of your league in many elements by your physical standards.
Sure.
And so you allowed that momentum to sweep you rather than following your own guidance, which was saying all along, do not get into this chair. You overrode that with a physical decision, I'm not wanting to displease.
True.
The morality of your time that had been taught to you, you still saw yourself as a child, even though you were a man. You do what adults tell you to do. And so you got into the chair. And now is when your inner being begins its intervention, is not the proper word, because your inner being does not intervene. But your inner being was able to offer stimulation of thought impulses that caused your physical body to respond in a way so that you gave a message to that dentist, even though you as a teenager were not strong enough or egotistical enough to give it to him with your verbal offering. Instead, your physical body responded in a way that he got the message and he backed away from you.
By turning green.
Correct.
As he said.
You showed physical symptoms that made him wary of proceeding further. Mm-hmm. Now, those physical symptoms were not necessary. If you had been one who was in the early stages, able to recognize, no, this doesn't feel good to me, therefore this is not something that I'm going to do. But most of you have been physically oriented not to follow your guidance. They say to you, shut up and sit down and stop acting like a kid.
True.
Adults know more than you do. And that is the reason for the teenage rebellion that has been going on as long as there have been teenagers, you see. It is because you have guidance coming forth from within you that the adults are trying to suppress from you. And so, yes, your inner guidance did come forth and actually offered green.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we're wanting to go further. Now you are feeling the inconsistency within you. In other words, this man has said to you,
yeah,
you have 17 defective teeth.
And he's a professional.
And yet, something within you says, no, this cannot be. In other words, your own knowing about your own well-being, mm-hmm, was more powerful even than what this powerful man was telling you. And that is what caused you to continue to seek.
That's why I didn't ask the dentist to fix my teeth. I just said, look at my teeth. And
correct.
I didn't tell him what the other dentist had said, because I didn't want to program his mind into...
And then it became a game. Then it was the game of discovering how true your own guidance was. In other words, with most of the world accepting the opinion of professionals, you as a teenager were in a position where you were weighing their value, these professionals' value, against your own knowing. And so that was precisely what was taking place within you in those very early stages. From it, you became wary in many ways, guarded, untrusting, and that is not of advantage to you. From it also, however, you gained a sensing that all others do not know what is best for you, that perhaps there is something within you that might have a better understanding of what is best for you. It is a complex issue, isn't it?
Yeah, you're kind of teasing me with this guardedness thing. It's almost like you're tempting me to ask you, how do we go through life with all the danger that's out there and not have some sort of guardedness to protect us from moving into it?
It is not likely that you would not be guarded when you have been taught from a very early age to be guarded, but your inner being does not feel guarded. And if you are one who learns to follow your bliss, to make decisions, I want to feel good, I want to participate within that which is uplifting, I want to be free and happy and growing, as you make these clear conscious statements of what you are wanting, you will find that your inner being can guide you around the nails and around the scorpions and around the AIDS and around the cancer, around all of the potholes of your physical universe without you ever feeling guarded again.
In other words, by just responding in the moment to that inner voice?
Gravitating toward what feels good instead of trying to run from what feels bad. Because always when you try to run from what feels bad, you stumble and fall into it.
Mm-hmm.
That is really the message that we have offered on all of the recordings of this 10-set series. The message is, you do not get what you want by fighting against what you do not want. And if there was ever a subject where we would speak that more clearly, it is upon the subject of inner guidance. You are not being guided away from, you are being guided to. Unless you are one who has never made the conscious acknowledgement of what it is you want.
Mm-hmm.
If what you are talking about is what I don't want that, don't want that, worried about that, don't want any of that, then of course you would gravitate to the physical way of warning. But if you are one who is making your clear positive statements of what you do want, mm-hmm. then your guidance system, your positive internal inner guidance system will guide you to those things that you are wanting. You see, life is an eternal process of redefining what is wanted and then moving toward it. Law of attraction abounds, and whatever it is that I am thinking about, that's what I'm attracting.
Right.
And so do you see how backwards it is in a physical world where you are saying, ooh, I don't want any of that. Ooh, I'm not wanting any of that. Ooh, watch out for that. My mother warned me against that. And so as you are worried about all of these things by law of attraction, in your worry of them, even well-intentioned worry, in your worry of them, you are now attracting into your experience more of the stuff that you do not want, becoming more guarded with every part of it that comes unto you. On the other hand, if you are one who is saying, I seek joy and upliftment and good times, I seek prosperity, I seek wellness, I seek the words that will uplift this one, I seek the words that will uplift this one, I seek a good idea that will move this project forward, I seek a way of expending my life experience in a way that is not only uplifting to me, but to those that I interact with, indeed into all of the universe. When you are making those statements and those sorts of desires or intentions dominate the balance of thought that is within you, then your guidance system helps you with ideas that gravitate more in those areas, you see. It is our knowing that when you, as a being who has within you an inner being that is very positive, when you make statements of what you do not want from your perspective of lack, you are vibrating at a place where your inner being cannot easily communicate with you. And it is only in times of great danger that the energy is high enough that your inner being can even get your attention at all.
Mm.
And so what happens is most of you live rather mundane, physical experiences with no real guidance coming forth from within, because you're more focused upon the lack of what you want than upon what you want, and only in the most dire of situations do you get any real guidance, when you could be hearing the subtle, refreshing, glorious guidance in every moment of your day. We've watched Esther, and we've watched you. We've watched many of our physical friends. And we've seen, Esther was standing in the line at the grocery store a few days ago. And suddenly, in her very fun, happy, open-spirited mood, she just danced forward out of the aisle that she was standing in and around the corner. She received an impulse to move very quickly, and she did it very joyfully, mm-hmm. not understanding what it was about.
Right.
And a grocery cart came moving very rapidly and banged into the wall right where she was standing. It would have, if it had hit her, mm-hmm. made a very great bruise mm-hmm. on the back of her heel. And after it happened, Esther realized that her impulse to move had come out of her desire to be a happy, healthy, unbruised person, you see. She did not receive a warning. She received a positive inspiration to do otherwise. Mm-hmm. We saw the two of you in a left-hand lane getting ready to turn left. And we saw you hesitate for a moment. And in the same moment of you, the driver, hesitating, Esther said to you, I have the feeling we should sit here for a moment. In other words, both of you were feeling it very strongly. As a motorist traveling 100 miles an hour passed you,
yeah.
He would have hit you surely,
yes.
if you had done what was legal or what was appropriate mm-hmm. by the law and had continued your turn. But you were inspired to hesitate for a moment. You weren't warned, watch out. You were inspired to hesitate. And in that hesitation, you received your value.
Okay, I realize that I listened to this voice and have for quite a while, and in a lot of different areas. But I wouldn't know how to tell another person how to listen for it, or what it sounds like, it, or how they can tell it. How would you explain to them, to those who maybe don't know exactly or haven't been using it on purpose through their lifetime, how they can know that it, know how they recognize it and use it on purpose?
The majority of those who are hearing this recording right now are not in the position to hear what we are saying either, because they have been fostered in a world that has been slanted more toward guardedness, wariness from attention of lack, than they have toward harmonizing with who they really are. And so now we would like to spend the remaining minutes upon this recording of bringing all who hear this to a place of acknowledging and benefiting from the guidance that is eternally being offered from within. It is necessary that a basis of understanding be laid before this understanding can come. And part of it you will derive from other places, other sources, even other recordings that we have created. It is necessary, before you can benefit from this inner guidance, that you acknowledge that you are more than this being sitting here in this physical body, that there is an inner part of you that exists at the same time. Not an inner part of you that was there before you came here and will be there after you leave here. In other words, it is not dead and alive, physical, non-physical, physical, non-physical. While you are here in this physical body, there is an inner part of you, an inner being that exists that is eternally aware of you. And that inner part of you is, by virtue of all that you have lived, very old and very wise. And vibrating by your current physical standards at what you would call pure, positive emotion. Your inner being exists in a place of vibration. You, as a physical creature, every time you think a thought, because that thought vibrates, you vibrate. And if that thought vibrates at a place that is not in harmony with who you really are, you feel negative emotion. The negative emotion is your signal that you have stifled the flow of life force between the inner you and the physical you. You can well imagine the negative effect on your body if you were to put a tourniquet around your neck, stifling the flow of energy or oxygen or blood. And in like manner, when you think thoughts of lack, you have put a tourniquet between you and you. And your inner being cannot then guide you or communicate with you or offer you any sort of beneficial, broader knowing. And so really, the key to the guidance that all of you seek is to more of the time think thoughts that are of a wavelength or a frequency that is more in harmony with who you really are. You use expressions such as, I want to rise above this petty, mundane thought that I'm engulfed in. And we say rising above is descriptive of what really is happening, because thoughts of lack vibrate lower and slower than thoughts of abundance. When you are thinking about yourself and you are thinking, I am a wonderful person, the vibration of that thought is in harmony with who you really are. Where when you think a thought such as, I am stupid, or I am not enough, or when you are thinking lack about yourself, those thoughts vibrate at a place that is not in harmony with who you really are. And so if you are one who is seeking the fullness of your being and you are wanting the benefit of that broader knowing, then our very powerful encouragement to you is to look for reasons to feel good. Look for thoughts that uplift you. Now, if we are being asked to give you the specific thoughts to think, we cannot do that. It is not our role to guide your thoughts. It is the role of your inner being. It is the role of you and your inner being to decide what is appropriate or inappropriate unto you. That's why when you look outside of yourself for guidance, what usually comes is feeling of confinement or confusion, because no one outside of you can decide what is appropriate or inappropriate. The guidance that comes forth from within you is to assist you in finding the harmony between what you want from broader perspective, what you currently want from this physical perspective, and the laws of the universe as your inner being knows them to be. All things are changing. If your house were on fire and the firemen come and put their hoses inside and spray the water around, you would say that was a very good thing. But if your house is not on fire and the firemen come and put their hoses inside and spray the water around, you would say that was not a good thing. Same action, just different circumstances. And what we are wanting you to understand is that you hold within you at all times a very delicate balance of ideas, a very delicate balance of desires and of beliefs. And your guidance from within can come forth to help you know the appropriateness of thought, word, and action. You literally know by the way you feel whether you are moving toward that which you are wanting or whether you are not. It is a little bit complex because it is necessary for you to continually state what it is that you want. And there are many issues upon which you do not know what you want. You will say, Abraham, I don't know what to do. It seems like any action is inappropriate. And we say sometimes doing is not where you are wanting to find your guidance. Sometimes having is not where you're wanting to find your guidance. But within you, there is always a centered place of knowing. Start by saying, I want to feel good. I want to resonate with my idea of that which is good within this universe. I want to do that which is appropriate right here and right now. And your inner being will always, when you get in that place of positive wanting, will then be able to guide you. It is in your place of guardedness, in your place of blame, in your place of criticism that your inner being cannot guide you. Because in those thoughts of blame and justification and criticism, in that place of negative lack, you are vibrating at a place where you cannot hear what your inner being is saying to you.
Abraham, in my lifetime I've known what's the unknowable, so to speak. I've been inspired to words and actions that are just beyond what I could explain to anyone. I've been guided, I've been directed, I've been saved, you might say, from negative things are happening and so on, psychic sort of experiences, but none of it can I do on purpose. None of it can I even prove that it happened. And yet it has all happened to me. I almost feel like I'm one person in one world that I can't communicate out of this world to the mass, then, and yet we are wanting to help other people understand that they all have within them the power.
We are not agreeing with you when you say, I cannot do it on purpose. You can do it on purpose when you are understanding how it is happening.
Oh, good.
And that is the point of all of this that we are talking about. Now, what you are describing, many could tell the same story because all have had inspiration. Sure. What is inspiration? Inspiration occurs when you, as a conscious thinking being, are focused upon something that you are wanting, and by law of attraction, that string of thoughts has been drawn. Your vibrational frequency, because law of attraction is bringing more thoughts, your vibrational frequency is raising until you are at a place where you now have full connection with who you really are. That's what inspiration is. But inspiration does not come to someone who is focused upon the lack of inspiration. That's what writer's block is. When the writer says, I can't write, nothing is coming. He is so focused upon the fact that it is not coming that he is holding himself in that vibrational frequency where it will not come. Where if he would start focusing upon what happened before, if he would start looking at the positive aspects of his writing, then his vibrational frequency will raise and he will make that connection, you see. We are here to help you unravel this great mystery. It is not a mystery. It is not magic. It is that the laws of the universe are absolute and consistent. When you think thoughts that vibrate at a place that are not in harmony with your greater wanting, you feel bad. You feel, and that bad feeling is the disconnectedness between who you really are and the here and now. You are right when you say, I could not prove to another. And the reason for that is because when another is asking for proof, it is because they are doubting. And when they are doubting, then they evoke doubt from you. And when you are doubting, now you're in that place of lack. And when you're in that place of lack, then you're in that place of disconnectedness. That is the reason that you cannot prove this sort of thing. But there are endless stories of those who have received magnificent inspiration to think or to speak or to act on any number of subjects. And so it is not a matter of proving that it exists. It's a matter of looking for it in your own life experience. When we're talking about inner guidance, we are talking about harmony. We are talking about more of the time thinking thoughts that vibrate with who you really are. And when you're in that place of vibration, then you're in that place of inspiration. If you are one who is focused upon the troubles of your life and you are saying, nothing is going right, I am not enough, you are not enough, nothing is enough, woe is me, as you are in that sort of thought, you are vibrating at a place where it is not possible for you to receive any inspiration that will assist you in helping it to be otherwise.
And so, well, then, is that the reason that so often I'll hear of a person who is hearing clearly from their inner being, but it happened after they had gone all the way down? In other words, there was nothing to fight against. They lost everything, so their health or whatever, and there's no more guardedness?
That is exactly what happens. No more reason to guard because all of it is gone. And that is the reason that very often the recovery comes very powerfully at that point. The position of guardedness is a very negative place to be. Because in your guardedness, you are attracting what you do not want, you see. Words do not teach. And it is really difficult for you to learn from watching others because there are so many factors involved that you do not really understand. And so if you are really wanting to awaken the guidance that is within you and utilize it fully for the enhancement of not only your physical experience, but all that is, then we would encourage you to acknowledge that your inner being exists.
Right.
Acknowledge that your inner being exists in a place of positive emotion. And make a decision that nothing is more important than that I feel good. Because by making the statement, I want to feel good, what you are saying is, I want to harmonize with who I really am. Which is another way of saying, I want to be in a place of clear communication with who I really am. We would encourage you to utilize processes that we have offered, such as the Book of Positive Aspects, which is nothing more than a notebook where you write things that make you feel good. Positive aspects of yourself, positive aspects of your mate, positive aspects of your work. we would encourage you to more consciously hold your thoughts in the direction of that which is of uplifting nature. And it is our promise to you that the happier that you are, the more time you spend focusing upon what makes you feel good, then the more powerful the guidance that comes forth from within you will be. The reason so many are discouraged as they say, "My prayers are not answered," is because they ask their prayers from a place of tremendous lack. They get in a place of deepest sorrow and deepest despondency, deepest despair, and from that place they expect to attract someone to intervene on their behalf. And we are wanting you to understand that the laws are consistent. When you're in a place of despair, you attract more despair. You must get into a place of being happy in order to attract that which makes you happy. Look for one little reason to feel good. Look for something that just for this moment delights you, and hold your thoughts upon it long enough that law of attraction can attract into it another and another and another. We are not wanting to make this a complicated issue. If it is your desire to feel happy today, if you get up saying, "I want to feel good," you will notice that you will attract more reasons to laugh and more reasons to feel good today than you did yesterday. We encourage you to talk about what you do want, not about what you don't want. We've enjoyed very much this interaction. Yeah, there is great love here for you.
Thank you.
We are complete.